Now, though, we are going to turn our attention to Roger Federer, who has announced his retirement today. Well, he's imminent retirement. Stephen Higgins of Cross Gorfew is with me in studio. It's quite interesting being across from you, Stephen. I know you're a tennis super fan. It's probably a good way to describe you, all right. And when somebody like Roger Federer retires at his age and given all he's achieved, I thought it'd be a celebration, but you're really disappointed.
I'm holding it together. Yeah, I mean, it's a story for me, I suppose, it goes back to like 21 years, 2001. It's probably the first time seeing him before Wimbledon. His kind of breakthrough amongst the general public would be when he beat Sampras, the defending champion at Wimbledon, and really announced himself as this force. It's a very summer day. If you look at across Twitter, the reaction from Carlos Alcaraz, the new world number one, who he was an idol to him. He never gets to play him now in the professional tour just by how their careers have developed. From Martina Vratilova, Billie Jean King, Rod Laver. It's all sadness. Petra Kvitova, it just goes on because he's such a extraordinary figure in terms of his achievements on the court, of course, but the way he handled himself, he's a style icon, the way he made tennis an important sport, probably, or more important sport than it was coming into his generation. And then obviously, because of his success, because of his ability, unfortunately for him, he led to the rise of people like Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic, who had to get that good to compete with him. But yeah, it's a sad, somber day for the sport.
What a career, though. And you outlined some of it in just there, but just the stats that are doing the rounds now: 310 weeks at number one, 20 majors, 28 masters, 1,000 titles, 6 ATP finals wins, almost 131 million in prize money. He's just, the longevity of his career is phenomenal.
Yeah, I think there's a million stats and people are still just processing this all today. And you're talking about a guy who's been on the tour for over 2 decades, and just like Serena Williams, it would take so long to go through all their achievements. But I think there's just a couple of, just in terms of longevity, beyond those headline figures of, say, at one point he made 10 major finals in a row. That's a record he holds. He made 23 major semifinals in a row. And I think it's incredible. He made 36 consecutive quarterfinals in Grand Slams. That's 9 years straight of making at least the quarterfinals. Obviously, he won some of those tournaments as well. Some people, you know, most people never get even to play a Grand Slam, let alone get through the second week. And he's making 9 years of quarterfinals. His ability to retain his fitness through the vast majority of his career, it's only in recent years that they've started to have ailments like his knee issue, some back issues, etc. And then just the, you know, the crunch time to come up with his extraordinary ability to harness it in a way that would get him through to the second week of Grand Slams and compete. Sometimes when he was the youngest guy playing against the likes of the older generation, Sampras and Agassi, and then playing with the younger generation like Felix Auger-Aliassime and people who are almost half his age, the longevity is unbelievable.
Another thing he did as well, which is quite remarkable, and more often than not, people who are dominant enough or are quite dominant in their sport or at the top of their game for a long time or have that kind of ruthless winning streak, they're not liked, but people really liked him.
More than that, he's adored.
Okay, some people absolutely loved him. One of them is standing across from me, but most people liked him.
I mean, you're questioning my journalistic credentials here, but yeah, I mean, there was the famous t-shirt of Quiet Genius at Work with Federer. I mean, the style transcends the sport, really. I think even for people who had no appreciation of tennis or never played tennis, the way he played tennis with the elegance, with the movement, his feet never made a sound really on courts. He's the perfect tennis player for the modern generation. The combination of his footwork, one of the best forehands we've ever seen, one of the best serves of all time. He's the third most aces in history. His magnificent touch around the net, his intelligence, his slice, his ability to adapt to different situations, apart from maybe playing Rafael Nadal at Roland Garros, but there's no shame in that. Yeah, the sport hadn't seen anyone really like him in the modern era. And you have to remember as well, when he came into tennis, Pete Sampras had the all-time Grand Slam record with 14. And then it wasn't long before he hit 20. And then you obviously have Rafael Nadal in 22 and Novak Djokovic in 21. So he really was the start of a new era of tennis. He was the leader of that.
Okay, well, let's hear from him.
I consider myself one of the most fortunate people on earth. I was given a special talent to play tennis. And I did it at a level that I never imagined for much longer than I ever thought possible. I would like to especially thank my amazing wife, Mirka, who has lived through every minute with me. She has warmed me up before finals, watched countless matches even while over 8 months pregnant, and has endured my goofy side on the road with my team for over 20 years. I also want to thank my four wonderful children for supporting me, always eager to explore new places and creating wonderful memories along the way. Seeing my family cheering me on from the stands is a feeling I will cherish forever. I would also like to thank and recognize my loving parents, my dear sister, without whom nothing would be possible. I would also like to thank my competitors on the court. I was lucky enough to play so many epic matches that I will never forget. We pushed each other, and together we took tennis to new levels. Above all, I must offer a special thank you to my unbelievable fans. You will never know how much strength and belief you have given me. The inspiring feeling of walking into full stadiums and arenas has been one of the huge thrills in my life. I've had the immense fortune to play in front of you in over 40 different countries. I have laughed and cried, felt joy and pain, and most of all, I have felt incredibly alive. So I want to thank you all from the bottom of my heart to everyone around the world who has helped make the dreams of a young Swiss ball kid come true. Finally, to the game of tennis, I love you and will never leave you.
Wow, he sounds really genuine as well for everything, like for everybody he was thanking.
I think there's a really important aspect of his career along with Rafael Nadal. There's sportsmanship. There was one time, I think, at Indian Wells or Miami where Roger Federer threw his racket on the court and, you know, the earth stopped moving. It was like, oh my God, Roger Federer was angry with something. Through. It just showed how the way he and Nadal can carry themselves with dignity. They're not berating umpires. They're not throwing rackets mm-hmm. around. They're not hurling abuse at opponents. Obviously, to some people, it depends who you talk to, whether that adds energy or not, or you know, some sort of attraction to the sport. But I think for young players coming through and for the rest of the tour, it set a brilliant example, maybe an impossible example, mm-hmm. but you can play and be extremely successful and show some humility and do it in style as well. These two guys, and Roger in particular, achieve that.
So what you're saying is he's perfect.
Well, this was always the thing. Well, he was perfect up to a degree. But I think as people talk about the statistics and they flow off the tongue, it's really his impact on tennis and the way that they could, say, take charitable matches down to South Africa and sell out to tens of thousands. He has done amazing work with his own foundation. His imprint goes beyond kind of almost the sport. He has transcended it in a way that, say, Tiger Woods has, maybe in a way that Lionel Messi might when he mm-hmm. retires as well. And doing it in not kind of based on sound bites or outbursts or controversy and that thing. It's all based on achievement on the court, stylishness, doing good things, you know, giving back to the sport as well, giving back to others in terms of the charitable contributions. So, yeah, in a word, it's fairly perfect. It'd be hard to match his legacy.
And you're going to be there when it all ends.
Yeah, so I thought with his knee surgery, so the last time he played was Wimbledon 2021. Unfortunately, he lost his last set 6-love to Hubert Erkac. He's had 3 knee surgeries in the time since. He's obviously 41. There was always going to be this issue of would he come back at all. He had planned to come back at the Laver Cup, which is the tournament he's co-created. And he plays the Basel Open. That's his hometown tournament. He's won it 10 times. He always plays it. So I thought he might, if things went awry, he'd probably retire at one of those two. So yeah, I'll be going to Basel later. Unfortunately, he won't be playing that. But on behalf of RTE, I'll be at the Laver Cup next week, where he'll be joined by Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic and Andy Murray. The only time in the history of the sport, and now sadly the only time it will ever happen, where the four of them will play together on one team.
Oh, that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the original idea behind the Laver Cup was to have a Ryder Cup style of tournament. And Europe has obviously been blessed with this generation of extraordinary talents. At different times, you've had Federer play with Nadal, Federer play with Djokovic, and various combinations. But this is the first and only time that you'll actually have the four guys, in fairness to Andy Murray, who's had an extraordinary career, the four guys who've defined the last 25 years on the men's tour.
Now, I always love speaking to fans, like genuine fans, people, you know, a lot of time with sports like tennis, people drift in and drift out of it and they're there for the majors. But you are actually, now you're a journalist as well, but you're a huge fan of tennis. And the fact that you went in 2007 on your J1 to see him play in the US Open, and now fast forward however many of years and you're heading over as a journalist to cover his last tournament. That's pretty cool too.
Yeah, my dream when I was in journalism college all those years ago at Griffith was to interview Roger Federer, to ask him a question as a journalist. On my J1, I was there in New York and I went into the US Open in baking, sweltering conditions. He was playing back to back with Justine Henin, who was the number one at the time on the women's side. She was also a wonderful player. And I remember I didn't know this USTA, that there was loads of vacant seats in the lower tier, and I wandered down to get a closer look at Roger. And I remember sitting there, and a ticket umpire came along to see if you had the right tickets. And I was sitting in beside a family, and they thought it was part of that family kind of thing. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. And I ran back up again afterwards. But to finally see him in person, and you didn't hear it. And I always remember he played a college player called Scoville Jenkins, the poor guy. And this was Federer in his pomp, 2007, when he was just unbeatable. And he was obviously throwing the poor kid around. And these, like, the intellectuals from behind giving out about the attitude of the young American player. And I always remember, suck it up, Scoville, suck it up. It's like, he's literally playing the best player in the world and one of the greatest players of all time. But yes, going back to then, and then I saw him in 2019 at Wimbledon, which is probably the last time he made the final there, that he was the Federer that we recognised before injuries kind of took hold and curtailed his career as they did Serena.
Right, well, you better take a call from us now over there and let us know how it's all going.
I'd be delighted to.
Right. Well, Stephen, I'm sure you're probably going to go home now, sit there on YouTube and watch all his greatest moments. Actually, what was his greatest moment in your eyes?
I think the best contest and match is the match against Nadal at the Australian Open 2017, the final. Some of the rallies, the sentiment, where they were at their stage of their career is fantastic. Yeah, I'd appeal to anyone, watch that back, watch the highlights or the match if you can. Just magnificent, the peak of the sport.
Okay, well, we might tweet that out a little bit later on. Stephen Higgins of Cross Court View, thank you so much for joining us.